Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and I'm so happy you're with us today. You know, we often feature here on Seek Reality guests who are new to me and new to most of you as well. And they have in common the fact that they are deep and interesting people in some way. They're devoting their lives to seeking and working to find ways of helping others to seek and work at growing spiritually, at helping themselves to help the world. I really love meeting these people, and I have a lot in common with them, frankly, because I've been a pretty sincere seeker myself. So I know how it feels to be motivated, to want to commit your life to helping the world change. As you know, some of the most amazing people who've ever lived have talked about how this is the most important thing any of us can do, to spend our lives on something greater than ourselves. And our guest today is yet another sincere seeker. Ray Catania is an author. He's a metaphysical teacher, a theorist, a life coach. He's a visionary, and he has several things he's visionary about: limitless publications, limitless coaching, and scientific spirituality for the modern human are three of his ventures. Ray has written two books so far in his Awakening series. The first is The Atheist and the Afterlife, and we talked about that one the last time he was here. And his second book is You Are Still Alive, Now Act Like It, which I think is a great title. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I think it's a terrific book. His publicist calls him a sought-after practitioner in scientific spiritualism and the practical application of metaphysics, which is a mouthful. He has a thriving private practice where he guides individuals on their transformative journeys. Like so many people nowadays, Ray has had a near-death experience, and he's an ordained minister with master's certifications in life coaching, Reiki, and meditation. He's now pursuing his doctorate degree in metaphysical parapsychology. I wonder what he does in his spare time, which I don't think he has any. Ray Catania combines his extensive formal education with wisdom gained from studying under some of the greatest modern leaders in this field. That's an impressive list, including intuitives, mediums, shamans, and energy healers. Ray, welcome. So I'm so glad to have you back again. I couldn't wait to have you back.
Oh, thank you so, so much. I appreciate you, and thank you for that introduction. I'm so happy to be back with you again.
This is going to be fun. I love your second book. I loved especially the second part of it, where you grow into detail about your own awakening. You became quite an amazing medium, actually, and you started being freaked out by that. Can you talk about a little bit about that to begin with? Because many people ask me how they can become mediums, and of course, I'm as psychic as a post, so I have no clue about how to be a medium. So how did it happen for you?
Well, you know, the way it began, the very first person that I had ever seen in human form, the very first energy, I should say, that I saw in human form was my wife's father. And it was when we first started dating. You know, it was, I really thought in that moment that I was losing my mind, because there was always this progression of things happening throughout my life. You know, I saw energy, I felt energy, I saw little things that other people didn't see. And I was always told, you're crazy, you're crazy, you're crazy. Even after the NDE, you're crazy, you're crazy, you're crazy. And, you know, and then, it was when I was in my mid-40s or late-40s, and I met my wife, the first person that actually appeared on what I call the movie screen. It's a panoramic movie screen. And the person that's on the screen, or people, are speaking to me. And, it was, you know, my future father-in-law. And but I don't know this at the time. And he says something, that makes no sense to me. I effed up. I made a mistake. You can help or I cannot. I don't know who the man is. I don't know what he's talking about. I don't know what to do with this information, and I've never seen it before. And my wife is a doctor of psychology and neuropsychology. So I literally thought I was going crazy. And I'm going to tell this woman I just fell in love with, who's a psychologist, that I see dead people. And I just naturally assume this is the end of the relationship, right?
Right.
But I did. You know, I figured I'll tell her because she can point me in the right direction to get the help I need if I am insane. And when I told her, the response I got was nothing like what I thought. She was, "Oh, that sounds like my dad." And I said, "I'm sorry, what?" She says, "That's my dad." I said, "But honey, your dad is dead." And she goes, "Yeah, I know." And now I'm thinking she's crazy and I got to get out of here, you know? She went on to explain that she had seen several mediums, and the mediums, told her that her father came through exactly the way I explained him. He was a very powerful presence in the afterlife, and he had this uncanny ability of just really getting right in front of the medium's face, almost front. You can't be front and center. They have to be over to the side a little, but, he got as close as anybody. So it's like, you can't miss him. We eventually became, you know, I guess friends, you could say, which sounds really strange.
No, it's not. I know that experience.
Yeah. Well, I guess to you, no, but to others, it might sound a little crazy. He would give me messages. I would give them to her. And, you know, within minutes of giving the message, he was gone. So he was disruptive until I would deliver the message. And then once I would deliver it, you know, he would then, you know, go away until the next message. But we had a lot of funny moments. A lot of things, you know, he was in construction, and I can tell you that is not my forte at all. But my wife has two little children, mine are older from my first marriage. So with the little kids, you know, around Christmas time, we're putting things together and I'm building things and I don't know what the heck I'm doing. And thank God, you know, for him, because he comes around and he'll just tell me what tool to use. That'll fit. And I'm like, "Oh, thanks. Thank you." And I can smell, you know, he smoked. I can smell the smoke. He was a construction worker. I can smell the wood, you know, how wood is fresh cut and it has a smell to it. So those smells will enter the room. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I'll know how to fix the thing I'm fixing. So, you know, I just thank him for those moments, but, it's, things are a little different in my house than most, I would imagine.
I will say. Does he come around a lot?
He used to come around a lot. He comes around a lot less now than he did before. But there was a time when, you know, with the first message, it actually turned out that that message was a serious one in nature. It saved somebody's life. So he was extremely persistent. That's the reason he was. And there were a series of messages that led up to us actually saving somebody's life without them knowing we were doing so.
Wow.
And that was the real challenge. Like, how are we going to tell the other person who doesn't believe in any of this that they need to see a doctor because something's wrong? They don't know something's wrong. They haven't been to the doctor. And we had to kind of devise a way to get her to go. And she did. And when it was discovered, thank goodness she's doing fine and well today. So,
wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. Imagine the first message I ever got was one of life or death. And it's from my future father-in-law. Go figure.
That's wonderful.
You know, I did ask him for her hand in marriage, though, before I popped the question. I did.
Did you say yes?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, right.
That'd be real embarrassing.
It would be really bad
here.
If you said no. Yes. Really bad.
The spirit said I can't marry you.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been
That's
bad.
Wonderful. So, all right. So you, because I saw from the book that all of this was freaking you out. Everything, every new thing was freaking you out.
Oh, yes. And that's why eventually I decided to take a break from mediumship, was because it was very overwhelming. There's so many stories like you're mentioning that are in the book that are, forced me to see some really bad stuff. You know, there's the one where, the person had killed themselves, and the friend came over and said, you know, her friend was the widow, and she was really grieving heavily, and she was very angry, because, of his taking his life, but not only taking his life.
In front of the child. I remember this story.
In front of the child. Yeah, right. So she thought that it was done in front of the child, which it ultimately was. But when I looked at it several times, what I found was, is that he didn't mean it to go that way, because he actually told the child, go out and take my bike. He was gifting it to him, thinking he's going to, you know, go away on the bike or whatever. And that is when he pulled the trigger and the kid came running back in with a question and saw it. But, you know, that did not go over well. The woman told me that I was out of my mind. That's absolutely not the way it happened. And, you know, was very upset. And I said, okay, you know, I could be wrong. I mean, I apologize, you know. And the first rule of thumb is that I learned from that experience is you don't read for people that don't ask you to read for them. Okay. Cause this was a mutual friend who had asked me to do it. Mm-hmm. And the second thing, you know, when I took it to my mentor, I said, you know how you just, you know, you're right when you're right. I mean, it's just very vivid and it's on the screen. And I watched it like over and over, which was hard to watch. And I know I didn't get this wrong. And he said, first of all, what's rule number one? And I was like, oh boy, here we go. I'm getting scolded. And I know it's coming because he doesn't mess around. And he's like, first of all, I told you never read for somebody who doesn't ask you to read. That's first of all, you don't do friends of friends ever. And I said, I know, Joe. And then he said, secondly, he said, he goes, it's not that you're wrong. It's that she needs to see it that way. So she can grieve it that way. She needs to be angry at him to grieve, or she's not going to get over this. You need to butt out. And I was like, you're absolutely right.
It can't
be
a tragedy because she'll never, ever get over it.
She wouldn't. She needed the anger to get over it. Yeah. She didn't want the truth. She needed to see it in that perception, in that light, so that she could overcome it and go through her stages of grief.
Because if he just plain killed himself, she'd blame herself somehow. I didn't
want to get involved any further than that. But he was right. I should have not even looked in the first place. So I took a break. It's very taxing to the medium. And I really have so much respect for people that do this for a living because, you know, you can only do a certain number of those in a day before they really take their toll on you. And it can put you, the medium, in a negative state of mind for quite a while until you can bounce back and come out of that. And here I am. I just had a huge spiritual awakening at the end of writing the second book. And I just found happiness for the first time, like real, true happiness. I knew what it really meant to be happy. Because I had never seen that. I never had the component that I was always missing was love. I had plenty of traumas. I had plenty of all the other stuff on the spectrum, but I didn't have that pure love that my wife gave me. And so that was amongst other things that I was working on myself, kind of fractured my ego. I don't want to say a dissolution because we really can't completely dissolve it, but I took a big chunk out of it and it doesn't react in an angry way. And when you lose anger and you lose sadness, you still experience them, but they dissipate quickly. So when I say lose, I don't mean they're completely gone, but they don't last. They don't resonate. I don't hold on to things for 2 days. I don't care about the driver who cut me off. I don't care about the woman who gave me the wrong change. I don't care if it's taking too long on the line. You know, I'm just thankful to be on the line. You know, I don't, my perception of things is that, you know, I'm thankful to have food, not how long does it take to cook it or something like that, you know?
Sure. So, and that's a good sign of a more advanced spiritual growth. That's very clear sign of that.
I think the definition of happiness really is contentment. It's being okay with not being okay, or being okay with being okay.
Yes, very well said.
It's not bliss. It's not like you're walking around on cloud nine every day. That's not the way it is at all.
No.
It's just not allowing the other
Zen feeling, right?
The other stuff to bother. Yeah.
Exactly right. But as you continued with this, then you started seeing auras. I mean, you began to get more and more into this psychicness, which was apparently a latent ability. Which, did anyone else in your family have this ability?
I don't know. I've often tried to go back and think and see if there was. It certainly is. It seems to be something that is hereditary. My son is already showing. But I'm uncertain as to that. It's funny. Remember the aura story? That was the first time I'd actually seen it. Now I felt them because it's the energy that we emit, right?
Yeah.
But my wife and I were away, and we were in upstate New York in a cabin, and she sat on the bed, and she's telling me, we're just talking about, I think it was Buddhism or something in the moment, and I said, honey, you're glowing. And she's like, oh, thank you. I just bought this new cream. And I'm like, no, you're glowing. And she's looking at me like, yeah, well, you know, I was out in the sun, and then I put the lotion on, and I'm like, no, babe, you're glowing. You're purple all around you, purple and white. And she's like, wow, really? And I was like, yes, I see it. I can see it. And that was the first time I actually really seen it. And it was really phenomenal. It was, and I walked this way to make sure that it wasn't a shadow. And then I walked this way to make sure it wasn't a shadow. You know, I tried every section of the room, and I'm like, you're glowing. And, yeah, that was amazing. That was the first time I had ever actually seen it. There's a lot of firsts in that book.
Yeah. But that's one of the things that made it fun. The best part was, though, watching you grow spiritually, and knowing that that's the same thing I'm seeing in my students. It's a universal. It doesn't matter how you do it, but it's a universal process in all people who make the decision to grow spiritually. It's quite remarkable.
Yeah,
so I recommend that my students read your book, because they'll see it. They'll see it in another person using totally different methods than the ones we use.
And I can't, and the thing about my story is, you know, it took me so long to just be open to the fact that this is real. Whereas if I would have acknowledged this, say when I had my NDE, I was only 20 years old. Now imagine had I gotten on this train back then, who knows where I could be today? You know, I certainly would have had a much more happier life. But I waited and waited and rejected it and waited it and waited it out until I was, you know, approaching almost 50 by the time that I accepted everything. And then I started to dive in and learn everything that I could learn, went back to school for metaphysics and just learned everything I could possibly learn, worked with everybody I could work with. And I found that so rewarding and fulfilling that I quit my day job. And this is all. This is what I do now. I coach, I write, and that's what I do. And it makes me happy.
If it makes you happy, it must be what you're supposed to be doing. But as I say, I think a lot of people need to be teaching spiritual growth, because people are so hungry for it. They just don't know where. Well, you must see that too.
Yeah. The people, when they finally they find me some way, somehow on the internet or our podcasts or what have you, they're like, I've been looking for someone that understands this. Like they've read the book and they're like, I was there and now I'm here and I want to get to where you are. And I'm like, come, you know, let's do it. Let's get there together.
Yes. Yes. The people in my class, and this is the first time I've ever tried to teach it, and we're at the end of the 3 months, are saying, you know, this happened to me, that happened to me today, and it would have ruined my day before. And now I look at it and I say, oh, and I just go on with my day. It doesn't bother me at all.
Isn't that fantastic? It's such a freeing feeling.
To know that you can go about your day and you're in control of your life and your emotions, and you're above it all.
Yeah. Once we stop reacting and allowing the ego to jump out in front of us and dictate what we do, it's just a small little pause. And right before, you know, that ego draws from the subconscious, right? So it's only going to take from yesterday, what you know yesterday. So if you do what you did yesterday to handle a problem today, well, then tomorrow you're going to wind up with the exact same thing. And you're just going to go through a loop and a cycle.
And right. Goes over That's and right. Around. That's right.
And you got to break that. So when your ego starts to talk, that's the little narrator in your head telling you what to do. You have to let your conscious mind catch up and say, now, wait a minute, ego, let's make sure that's the right thing to say or the right thing to do. And I guarantee 90% of the time it is the wrong thing to do.
Right. It's not. Exactly.
It's there to protect us. But how often do we really need the type of protection that it gives us?
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
So
there's something left over from the Cro-Magnon days when we had to be afraid of everything.
Yeah. Lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. Run. Yeah,
exactly.
Of course. Yeah.
But now none of that is dangerous. Right. Yeah.
So, and we still utilize all those tools internally that we have as though we're being attacked by an animal.
Next-door tribe could kill you too.
Sure, anything that could have been life-threatening, but now it's diminished down to nothing more than, a car cut you off, or somebody flipped you the bird, or
gave you the wrong change in the store.
Yeah,
but your ego only knows fear and anger. Those are the only reactions, and they're always the same proportion. They're always extreme.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it was when I broke away from that I really noticed I had had a car accident, and normally my reaction to that would have been that I was very angry, whether angry at myself. I hit a deer, actually.
The deer was able to stand up on four unbroken legs.
It didn't die. It wasn't injured. I mean, I got out of the car and I felt compassion for this deer, and I went to pick it up and it got up. And we looked at each other like eye to eye, and it walked off, and it was fine, and I was fine, and it was like a miracle that nothing, the deer wasn't hurt and I wasn't hurt. The car was trashed.
Yeah.
But by that time, I realized that's just a car. That's just a piece of tin, regardless of how much it cost. That's irrelevant. So no anger. No aggression, no being upset. I didn't lose any sleep over it. I didn't even tell anybody. I just went home and went to bed. Completely different Ray.
And 20 look years ago. How much stress you didn't have.
Yeah.
Whereas in the old days, there would have been so much stress on the old ticker that it could have shortened your life having that one experience.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. And you know, I, right after the accident, I started to call my wife. We weren't married yet at that moment, and we had two separate houses. That's why I was leaving and going to my house. And I went to call her, and I stopped and I said, why would I call her?
Yeah.
She's looking after the two little ones, right? And I'm going to dump this stuff on her for what? So she can feel bad, and that's going to like make me feel better in some way? No, it isn't. It's just going to make her feel bad.
Right.
So I didn't tell her anything, and I drove home. And same thing with my son the next day. He thought somebody stole my car because I put it in a body shop and Ubered home. And he's like, somebody stole your car. Somebody stole your car. And I was like, no, relax, relax. Yeah, it was just a car accident. What? You had a car accident and you didn't tell me, you didn't call me, or you, whatever. And I was like, this is why I didn't call you, because I didn't want you to react. And he's like, who are you and what have you done with my dad?
Like you and your brother waiting for what, 3 or 4 hours for dinner be delivered to you to take home. Yeah, yeah. When you change this way, people who have always known you to be like this,
right,
will be very surprised to find out that you're no longer that person anymore.
Yeah, my brother and I, it was Mother's Day and it was during COVID. So we went to pick up the food that we ordered to bring back to the house. Everybody was waiting at the house. And we were told it would be ready in an hour. An hour turned into two turned into 2.5, and we're still sitting there. And he's like, he's getting really, you know, upset and angry. Shouldn't we say something? Shouldn't we do something? And I said, well, that's not going to change anything. You know, the guy's obviously running around. I mean, he's not ignoring us. You know, the place is packed. Everybody's waiting for their food. He even came out and apologized, the owner of the place. And we're going on 3 hours, and he's like, well, you don't have people blowing up your phone. And I said, yes, I do. But I texted back, the food's not ready, and I put my phone down, and I didn't look at it again. I'm not going to let that bother me. If that they want to be bothered by that, they can be bothered by that. I'm not going to be. And then when we came home with the food finally, I don't know who said it first, but it was like, I hope you didn't pay for that. I hope you got a big discount. And I was like, guys, there's kids on the other side of the earth who have no food at all, and they don't know when their next meal is coming. They could wait a week for food. We waited 3 hours. What is wrong with you people? And everybody was just looking at me like, does anybody recognize this man?
It's this man, right?
Does anybody know who this is? My mother was like, that's not my son. I don't know who that is.
But again, living in that peace, feeling that quiet, that stillness within you, being happy for no reason, which someone wrote a book with that title, that is such a beautiful thing. And it's accessible to everyone.
Yeah. And I never knew that I could achieve that. Never.
In 3 months. You said 3 months. It takes my students 3 months. Doesn't even take that long, actually. I mean, I give it that, but it doesn't take it that long, take you that long. Because all you have to do is retrain your mind, your ego. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
I call it retrain the brain, but it's not really the brain. It's the mind, but it didn't rhyme. So I went with brain.
Of course.
It didn't rhyme. So I went with retrain the brain. So.
Right. No, but it's wonderful to see what a universal thing this is and how easy it is to do, because it is really, really easy. Everybody should be able to do it.
The concept is now, very simple.
Think of if everybody were doing this, can you envision that different world?
Oh my God, yes. I mean, it would be such a kind, relaxed, polite place. If you just simply, like I said, happiness, you don't have to get to the bliss point. You don't have to achieve something to be happy. You just have to not be unhappy. And when you're not unhappy, there you are content or happy. And when you can walk through life that way, and it's a different world. It's just simply a different world. And I notice people who are still caught in that way. And I really, like, I feel for them, you know. And almost ran a stop sign. And this guy was just yelling at me and giving me the bird and everything else. And you're this and you're that and telling me what I am. And I'm like, okay, you know. And I just started chuckling and I gave him my business card. I was like, listen, I used to be just like you. I can promise I can help you with that. And of course he threw it back in my face. Yeah. But, you know, and I wasn't really trying to be mean. I was like, you really need help, you know. And I could just imagine the way I look like that? Was I like that? That's terrible.
Yes. And I teach my students some stories, you know. I mean, you always drive under the speed limit, because then you're never stressed. You give yourself an extra half hour to get there, no problem at all. And often people will give you what I don't know what this is with the middle finger that they do, but yeah. they do that. So yeah. You know, hocus pocus, you change the story. Mm-hmm. You immediately think, the poor man, he's lost four fingers. They're probably on the seat beside him in a bag, and he's trying to get to the hospital.
Oh, so that's
give him
excellent.
A big smile and a wave, and let him go ahead of you. And all yeah. of this, and the looks on those men's faces, because it's always a man. When you do that, they just get over it. Some of them are looking back at me and saying, what's wrong with that woman? But that's what you can do. You can change the story about anything.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
why would people give other people who are either mean or have had a bad day or whatever, why would they give them any power over you?
Over you. That's right. They can take your power away, and if you allow it. But if you don't allow it, they can't right. do it.
They can't do it.
Can't do
no.
it.
No. They honk behind you. You wave them past.
Bye.
Obviously, right. Obviously, they're in more of a hurry than you are, and you smile no matter what.
My son has a lead foot, right? And he's gotten a couple of tickets that I've had to get him out of, pay for them. And I said to him, I said, where were you going that you were speeding? And I don't remember where it was. It just had to be someplace at a certain time. And I said, okay, well, what would have happened if you were 30 minutes late? Would you die? Would anybody die? No. I said, then why not just be 30 minutes late? And again, he's like, what have you done with my dad? And I'm like, seriously, think about it. Like, where is it that you have to get to that is so important that you're willing to risk your driver's license, your life, potentially harming somebody?
Other people's
what could lives. Possibly be that? If you're driving an ambulance or a police car, okay, you got somewhere to be. That's different, but you're yeah. not. So all it is you're going to be late, then, hey, you're going to be late.
That's
just how it is. That's it.
That's right. No, I as long you basically change the story you tell yourself about all the things that are happening around you. And you reclaim your life. You've maybe never even owned your life before.
No.
Depending upon how you were raised, many people have never owned their lives before. So when you first start claiming it, mm-hmm. and claiming your own space and your own life, it is such an exhilarating feeling.
Oh yeah, that's such a huge thing you just hit on. When my clients realize that their ego is not them,
yes,
they are like, what? And I'm like, no, you're your awareness, which is connected to your higher self, because you're aware of the emotions that you're having. You're aware of those things.
Right.
You can change things if you're aware of them. But your ego that talks to you, that's everybody from your past. Every authoritative figure you've ever had, anybody that was mean to you, a bully, whatever, it's all in the ego.
Yeah.
And that's what's coming out. So that's not the real you.
Yeah,
you wouldn't want to, you don't say things like that. You don't want to be that type of person. Who do you want to be? Look to your awareness, not to the past. And when that clicks, their lives change. And I love that moment. And for some, it's longer than others, but you know, eventually everybody can get there. You really can.
Yep.
If I can do it, anybody can do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I feel the same way.
I'm not that smart.
We do it slightly differently. We use the teachings of Jesus. So we talk about forgiving the past and the future. And you can do that using a trick called prevenient forgiveness. And once they master that, it's impossible to ruffle them. Nothing bothers them. And it's to see the peace that descends in their lives is just extraordinary. It's beautiful. But you see the same thing using your technique. It's simple and it doesn't take any time. No. And you add some beautiful things. Let's talk about that. Talk about meditation a little bit.
Sure. Well, I love meditation because it just is. When you learn to meditate, you can take that and pretty much do any of the other things that are in the book, right? You can start with the meditation, and it does not have to be a long meditation by any means. Excuse me. one of the parts of the meditation, which is very early on, I call the attitude of gratitude. And it's simply stating all the things you already have that you're grateful for and thankful for. And this takes but minutes. And if you're having a tough day, you can go excuse yourself, go to the restroom and just do an attitude of gratitude. I am thankful for this moment. I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful for, you know, roof over my head, food in the refrigerator, et cetera, et cetera. And then you come back out of that bathroom. You can't be in a bad mood anymore. No way, no how can you go in and do a full attitude of gratitude and come out and be angry. I've never seen, you can't do it.
Yeah.
So it's that little part of the meditation that's so huge. And then when we get into aligning our frequencies with Mother Earth and the Schumann resonance, which is 7.83 hertz, and in a theta state, the brain waves are 4 to 8. So if we're in theta, or we get there, it's that sweet spot where we're fully connected. And you can feel it when you're there. You know it when you're there. And it's like plugging your computer into the internet for the first time and all this information appears, right?
Yeah.
It's like I plugged into the collective and all of a sudden it was like downloads. We literally call them downloads, right? They ideas just come into our heads and like, where did that come from? I don't even know anything about that, you know, and it just flows. And meditation is really what I found to be the easiest way to get to that state. I'm sure there's others, but that is what I found to be really, really easy.
Now, when you help clients, do you do it only in person, or do you sometimes do it by phone? Or
can't do really in person so much anymore. We adapted to COVID and we're mostly Zoom. I will do in person if they're local to me, but usually it's Zoom because
I have clients. I don't know what we ever did before.
Right? Yeah. I got clients in the UK. I have clients in Australia. I have clients, you know, everywhere. So I can see so many more people that way.
Yeah.
Zoom is a great, wonderful. Great product. We should get something from them, I think. Hello, Zoom. Send the check.
No, it is wonderful. I use it in my work as an attorney, and obviously we're doing this by Zoom, and my course has people from 7 countries. Yeah. And from Australia to Serbia. I almost said Siberia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, all over the world. It's quite amazing. But no, this has been really wonderful. We're coming near the end of our time. What do you really want people to take away from our conversation today?
That you are in control of the rest of your life. From this moment forward, you can decide if you want to change your everything. Change your perception, change your truth. Change your truth and you have changed your reality. And it's that simple. You just, if you don't know how to do it, find somebody who can show it to you. Get there and just enjoy life.
Beautifully said. I think the problem is that so many people don't even understand what's possible.
I know.
For them. They've always lived in this little frame. And they don't understand how easy it is to escape that frame. So what can you say to them to help them understand that the frame is self-imposed?
It is self-imposed, but we don't realize it because it was given to us by people when we were very young. It was the things that we saw. It was what we observed. And those things went directly into our mind, into our subconscious. And we developed we made the basis for our decision making comes from the subconscious mind. So the first thing is to acknowledge that the subconscious is not always right. In fact, it's rarely right. It has all this information, sure, but it's jumbled up in there. And then the egoic mind is what brings it forth. So a practice that I teach is pause. Take a pause. When you feel the adrenaline surging, you feel you're going to get upset, pause. Step outside. Become the director of your life. You're in a movie. It stars you. It's your life's movie. But I want you to come out of yourself and look at yourself and direct your character. How do you want your character to act, to behave, what to say? And if you do that enough times, even if you've made the mistake and you go back and do a recut just in your mind over and over and over, it'll come naturally and you'll start to go from your conscious mind to your awareness to figure out what you want to do, and less from the subconscious mind to the ego telling you what to do.
That's very well said. I think you described very well the conundrum most people find themselves in. They're not happy with their life. Now, in fact, many people, many people are depressed. They're slightly depressed all the time. And then sometimes they're even more depressed, but that they're at some level of depression nearly all the time.
And it's not their fault.
No, not at all.
Their fault.
But then they don't know how to get out of it. And you just very well described how to get out of it. You just you have the power to just step outside and look at it and say, I can overcome this.
Yeah.
I think your book, the second half of it especially, is a good description of how you can start to get out of it.
Thank you.
But it's quite easy. You can do it in a few months, couple months.
It really is easy. It's repetition, but the principles, excuse me, are rather simple. They really are.
And it's permanent. I don't know how I can make this clearer than I can make it by saying it right now. Once you get it, you cannot
put
it back in a bottle.
Yeah.
You never, never again go back to who you were. It's not
possible. I had a mentor say to me, once you see it, you can't unsee it. So true.
And you cannot. You become so much bigger than you were before that you can't fit back in who you were before. You will. Big things happen in your life, and you never look back. Mm-hmm. I've seen this in so many people's lives, and I just think that it would transform the world altogether if everybody understood what we're talking about now.
Oh, without a doubt.
Because that's who we're really meant to be. I mean, it is no longer caveman days. We don't have to be afraid of the, whatever it is outside the cave. We are able to be sentient 21st century beings. And by taking that to where it naturally should be, that's all we have to do.
Yes. Yeah.
So I have to have you back because I love talking to you.
Thank you so
much.
The
last time
thank
as
you.
Well.
I love being with you, Roberta. Thank you.
So, thank you for being here. Please consider yourself hugged.
Thank you.
My dear friends, this has been... I want to talk to him all afternoon. This has been... Oh, by the way, I should say his websites, but they are going to be in the materials for this episode anyway. Just reikatanya.com, just the way it sounds, limitlesspublications.com and limitlesscoachingnow.com. And I recommend him and his books very highly because, frankly, he's doing the same things I'm doing, but he's doing them from an entirely different perspective. So if you don't want me, you can use him and get into the same place, which I think is fabulous. But once again,
a little bit of us both. Imagine, we'll make you crazy, both of us.
Yeah, right. You can have us in stereo even. This has been Secret Reality with Roberta Grimes. I'm so happy you could be with us today. Never forget that you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began, you never will end. So sorry if you don't like that, but that's the truth. And when you get all the implications of that fact, it changes everything in your life for the better. Next week, our guests will be Carol and Mikey Morgan. And I think by now, most of our listeners know their story. Michael is an extremely advanced sixth level being, the level just below the source level, who last lived in an earth body in the 1600s. And at this point, he's almost at the Godhead level. But he was very worried about us. He could see what was going on Earth, and he was really unhappy about it. So he took a very voluntary lifetime in 1987, lived here for 20 years, died in 2007 in an accident, just so he could teach us and answer questions with the help of his mother, but without really knowing what he was going to do other than he was coming back, trying to help, which I think is amazing and beautiful. And they couldn't get over it, by the way, in the afterlife. They thought this guy must be crazy, and maybe he was, but it raised his vibration quite a bit more even. I've tested Carol and Mikey thoroughly because I didn't believe Carol's story for a minute. They are absolutely genuine, and we at Seek Reality are honored beyond belief to be able to have them as our regular guests. There's nothing like them else on Earth. Please be sure to join us next week because you are going to just love this. And today our guest has been Ray Catania, who, as you can see, I just love Ray too. He has been with us for the second time. Ray is a metaphysical teacher, theorist, and coach. He's the visionary behind Limitless Publications, Limitless Coaching, and Scientific Spirituality for the Modern Human. And his two books, which is For the Atheist and the Afterlife, and You Are Still Alive, Now Act Like It. I enjoyed both of them, but the second half of that second book, I really think is a handbook for doing what all of us need to do, which is raise our spiritual vibration enough so this can be our last necessary Earth lifetime. I really recommend this book very highly. And I love the title too. It's really an excellent book for spiritual seekers. And I highly recommend it. And I just love Ray to Pieces.
Thank you so much.
So now, of course, it's time once again to mention that Seek Reality Online is your one-stop resource for all things afterlife. Just go to seekreality.com and start to learn for yourself that your own reality really is eternal. You're going to have to continue to exist, to be aware. You may as well learn the ultimate truth from our own dear friend, Craig Hogan, who is the president of Seek Reality Online. He's your worldwide expert on all things afterlife. And teachingsbyjesus.com is your resource for all the beautiful divine truths that are brought to us in perfect love by the greatest teacher of all, who is Master Jesus. Now it really is his turn, as Christianity, the religion that he didn't start, it was started by the Roman Emperor Constantine, finally dies. The genuine teachings of Jesus can at last truly come alive for us all. I think we've run out of time, so I can't really tell you about my books, but they're all available on robertagrimes.com and, of course, wherever books are sold. And if you want to talk about any of my books or anything at all, you can always reach me through the green contact block on robertagrimes.com. It can take a week or two sometimes, but I do answer every email if you give me your correct address. Just be sure you do that, because when I write a long email and it bounces, the one thing that ruins my day is when that happens. So give me your correct address. All of the more than 500 episodes of Seek Reality are available wherever audio podcasts can be found, and you can listen to new episodes each week with the Seek Reality app that you can find wherever free apps are available. You can see the new video episodes each week on Roku or Fire Stick, YouTube, and elsewhere. Meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, which we all share, always knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being, and you most of all in this whole universe, you are infinitely, eternally, and perfectly loved.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.